I was pretty close to just packing it all in, just being done, throwing in the towel, just absolutely giving up. I swore to myself that if the Vikings were going to lose to the Giants, I was going to go and I was going to buy Bison jerseys. I was going to wear a Bison shirt. I was going to wear a Bison tie and just finally cheer for a winner. I am so tired of my Vikings losing to the Bears, losing to the Packers. I'm tired of a Minnesota Twins team that wins 101 games and sets a record for home runs, meeting up with the Yankees and just throwing in the towel. I am so, why do I keep cheering for Minnesota sports teams? They give me no reason whatsoever to be faithful to them. It goes against all logic to keep cheering for them. They only lead me to heartbreak and suffering time and time again. And there's my transition. A Book of Ruth is about heartbreak and suffering. That's how it begins. Heartbreak and suffering. And there's a point in this book where things just are no longer going to make sense. And some decisions that happen that go against all logic, like cheering for the Vikings, like cheering for the Twins. It's a book that begins in heartbreak. In the very first five verses of this book, we have all sorts of heartbreak. A family is suffering under a famine in the land of Judah. And so they uproot themselves and they move to a foreign country, to Moab, where they hear probably that there's food available for them. So they move there. And after they move there, the patriarch of the family dies. And later on, Naomi, the widow of this patriarch, her sons marry foreign women from Moab, and then her sons die. And so all of a sudden you have three women, Naomi and her two daughters-in-law, without husbands. Naomi in a foreign country. And we have to keep in mind that in the culture and the time that this is written, that to be a widow was to be in a precarious situation. You didn't have somebody there to speak for your rights. And I know in today's day and age that sounds a little harsh, but that's just the way this story is and the way it sets things up. Naomi and her two daughters-in-law, they're in a position of vulnerability and a lack of stability, and it's a scary situation right off the bat in the first five verses. And so with nothing left to her in Moab, Naomi packs it all up, and she hears that there's food again back in Judah, back home, so she packs it all up and takes her two daughters-in-law with her. And at some point in the journey, she turns to Orpah, and she turns to Ruth, and releases them. She releases them from any obligation that they might feel they have to her, and she says, "Go back home. I have nothing for you. I'm too old to remarry. Even if I did remarry, I can't have kids. Even if I was pregnant right now and had sons in my womb, would you wait for them to be old enough to marry? I have nothing for you." She releases them from any sense of obligation, says, "Go back home." She appeals to them on an earthly, worldly basis of logic. Leaving her and returning home would be the safest, surest, smartest thing to do for these two women. She even gives them a blessing from God to go back home, that God would treat them kindly as she was treated kindly by them. At first, Orpah and Ruth both are in agreement and say, "No, we'll go with you." But then Naomi persists, and at that point, the two women both have a choice to make. And Orpah is the first to make her choice. And she chooses to go back home. And by worldly and earthly standards, she's making the right choice. She's making the best choices for her own survival, her own success in life. If she goes back home, she'll be under her father's care, and she'll be in a place where there's assurances there of food and a life. Her father can probably find another husband for her, and she can have a good life and bear children. And that's the sure thing. That's cheering for the Yankees. That's the sure thing to do. But Scripture is very revealing in what her choice was really about. And we see it in verse 15. After Orpah leaves, Naomi says this to Ruth, "Look, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and to her gods." And therein is the telling thing about this choice that Orpah and Ruth both have to make. It's really about which God they're going to follow. Orpah, in doing the sure, safe, by all means right and more appropriate thing, is going back to her gods. The problem with worldly logic and understanding is that it's tainted by human sin. Even the wisest person among us is tainted by human sin. And the sinful human self will always seek self-preservation, will always seek to avoid suffering, will always seek to love yourself more than loving your neighbor. We heard that command last week, to love your neighbor as yourself. The sinful human being doesn't want to. We want to just be satisfied with loving ourselves and not worrying about our neighbor. By earthly human standards, Orpah is guiltless, but Scripture indicates that she made the wrong choice. She went to other gods rather than the one true God. She has forsaken the Lord and turned away. But then we get Ruth's choice in this passage. And Ruth chooses the hard road. She chooses commitment. She chooses to be faithful to Naomi and therefore faithful to the Lord. This is a passage that you sometimes will see in a wedding service. Who's had this passage in their wedding or at a wedding service? Did you guys? You did, right? Did you even sing that song, right? I have a question, though. Did your mother-in-law choose this passage for you? Because that's what it's about. You know that, right, Sylvia? It's a faithfulness to a mother-in-law. So you're off the hook on Jim. It's more about his mom that you have to be faithful to. Yeah. It's a common passage in weddings because it is about faithfulness and about commitment. In fact, in premarital counseling, the first homework I give is for the couple to read the book of Ruth together so that they can get a picture of what faithfulness, what steadfast love, and what commitment mean. Ruth makes a statement about commitment. She decides that she will leave everything that is sure in life and go to a foreign country with her mother-in-law and go into the great and wild unknown. She says, "Don't tell me to leave you and return home. I will go where you go. I will live where you live. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. I will die where you die and be buried beside you. May the Lord punish me if we are ever separated, even by death. It's an absolute commitment. She cheers for the Twins, not the Yankees. She's a Vikings fan, not a Patriots fan. She's a UND girl, not an NDSU girl. This is Ruth. She does not go back to her gods. She goes on faith. And on faith alone into the unknown, because she knows that where she goes, the Lord is there too. Throughout history, there's people that have chosen the way of faith and commitment to the Lord rather than turning away. The founder of our church, Martin Luther, was one such person. It would have been easy just to keep his mouth shut, just to go along with the Catholic Church of the day and not raise a fuss, but instead he wanted to be faithful to Scripture. And because he was faithful to Scripture, he went down a road that was unknown to him and got thrown to the wolves. He was excommunicated. He was locked away in a tower under a protector because he couldn't go anywhere for fear of being arrested. A man named Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a Lutheran pastor in World War II Germany, it would have been easy for him to go the way that the Nazis wanted him to go, which was to preach the Nazi agenda. But instead, he conspired against Hitler himself and was killed for going against the Nazi regime. Two of many people throughout this world who chose the way of faith, which meant going into a life of suffering, a life of the unknown, taking up a cross and bearing it. Faith sometimes, maybe many times, makes no sense whatsoever. To be committed to the Lord sometimes makes no sense at all. To love your enemy, which Jesus told us to do, makes no sense. To open yourself up to the potential suffering by bearing the cross that Christ has laid upon you, that makes no sense. To serve and worship an invisible God sometimes makes no sense whatsoever. Just as it makes no sense that this invisible God would send his son to die for his creatures. Faith makes no sense. The Bible scripture teaches us a world that is upside down. Faith is and living faith is living in a backwards way. It is loving your enemy. It is caring for your neighbor. It is seeing others as more precious than you see yourself. And it is not easy. But Scripture says that we love because God first loved us by giving us his Son. And I would say, too, that if we are to be faithful, if we are to be committed, it's because the Lord was first faithful to us. If I am faithful, it's because the Lord was first faithful to me. Ruth says, I will go where you go. I will live where you live. Jesus says, where you go, where you live, I will be there for you. Ruth says, your people will be my people, your God will be my God. Jesus says, you are my beloved, and because of me, you are a child of God. Ruth says to her mother-in-law, I will die where you die and be buried beside you. And Jesus says to you, where you were meant to die, I died for you. Ruth says, may the Lord punish me if ever we are separated, even by death. And the Lord Jesus says, I took your punishment upon myself so that death would not part you from me. The Lord does call us to be faithful to our brothers and sisters, to those in the world, to love our enemies, to do the things that are hard, and faith is hard and it is unknown. But the Lord promises and vows that he will be with us the entire way and has been faithful to us before we were ever faithful to anybody else. Let's pray. Gracious and almighty Lord, we give you thanks for your faithfulness, your dedication to us, that you have chosen us before anything else. That you have given us the very faith that we proclaim. We thank you for this gift. We pray that you would strengthen it in us. Strengthen us for those difficult times where faith doesn't seem to make sense. And give us the assurance that you are with us when we are called out into the wild. We pray this in your name.